Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us tonight on episode 25, season 3 of The Standoff with Brad and Richie here on New Zealand Sport Radio. We're here live every Wednesday on Facebook throughout the season. Evening, Richie. How was your weekend after a great Warriors win and some great clashes along the way? I didn't do too well in my tips, unfortunately, but you had a better night.
Yeah, the Warriors win, it just caps off the weekend. It's always good starting your weekend like that. It's not so good when the Warriors lose early in the weekend and leaves a sour taste in your mouth. But when the Warriors put on the amount of points they did, which we haven't seen in quite some time, very satisfying, mate.
Definitely, definitely. And see, Simon's here nice and early. Evening, Simon. While we're here live on Wednesdays at 8 p.m., you can also catch our show at your convenience on iHeartRadio. Just remember to search for New Zealand Sport Radio. As always, we're going to cover everything you need to know on the week that was rugby league, including our top stories of the week, a review of round 22 and our picks. We'll then stop and answer some questions from you guys, as well as questions we've got for each other. We'll then go into preview round 23 and round 1 of the NRLW before making our tips. We'll then end the night with a recap of Super League. So remember to send us comments and questions throughout the show, and we may as well jump straight into the top stories. See, Jacko's here too. Evening, Jacko.
Hey, Jacko.
So first, a bit of somber news. During the week, there was the announcement that Paul Green had passed away. Further news came out later on that he took his own life. What's your thoughts on Paul Green before we go on?
Well, obviously, premiership winning coach at the Cowboys, also a very good player and coach Queensland, but a very respected figure in rugby league. So yeah, it's very sad to hear the news during the week about what happened, and obviously you feel for his family, and it's just a reminder, I guess, of the perhaps the pressures and scrutiny that head coaches can come under and in the public eye, and you know, it must be a tough gig, and yeah, obviously it's devastating news for the whole league community. So yeah,
and there were talks that Wayne Bennett was looking at bringing him into the fold at the Dolphins as well, but yeah, very shocking, out of the blue. And in the aftermath of what happened with Green, Broncos coach Kevin Walters has come out and urged the NRL to consider more mental health support, particularly around players, coaches and support staff. And Braith and Astor added to it by calling that the NRL should have a mental health round next season. They've done a few videos this week about getting, like, I think it was something about, you know, always look for the offload, I think was the statement they're making, trying to encourage people that if they're not feeling great, just to have a chat. I don't know if my partner's watching. I get grief from her all the time for bottling it, as she says. So I am no master of it, but yeah, I think it's just a reminder that if you're feeling down, reach out to someone. There's always someone around. Hopefully we don't see any more of it anytime soon. That's really all I had on it. It was just very, very sad. And the Cowboys, I'm sure it's going to give them a little burst of incentive, I guess, to finish the year strong for someone that was so key in their history, which is great news for them, but probably not so great for us Warriors fans this weekend.
Yeah, it's true.
Next bit of news, as mentioned last week, there was the Warriors members forum that I was going to. I went with my little notebook to take notes. Good to see a few people we haven't seen in a while. TK, I see, is here. I got to sit with TK for it, and it was a good night. It was kind of not a lot of information that you don't already expect, as you know, Richie, as someone who's gone to them before. But yeah. It's just good to get out of the house sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
But I did take a quick picture, which I've sent to Paul, so hopefully he can bring it up. Cameron George spent some time. They've kind of released more news on it this week, but kind of showed like a game plan of their pathways. And hopefully you guys can see that all right. But they showed from 2020 to 2025 to show what's happened with COVID, what fell away, and then what's coming back. So next year and 2024, they're bringing the New South Wales Cup and the SG Ball in. They've also announced today that Adam Blair is going to be the coach of the SG Ball side, and Slade Griffin will be the coach of the New South Wales Cup side. So the next 2 years, they're going to have them, and they're looking at around 80 people, young kids a week training in their development program. And then in 2025, they want all of that stuff and the NRLW women's side and a Harold Matz Cup side, which I believe is under 16s. It might be under 17s now. I'm not too sure. It's 16 or 17, but it's at least showing there's a pathway. I know there's been a lot of criticism and the like in the media from Mr. Kemp and a couple of others about how the Warriors aren't looking at New Zealand. This, if it happens, it'll be great. You know, it might not happen, but it's at least they've put the plan in place saying this is what we want to do. Mm-hmm. And Simon's just said it's great news about New South Wales Cup and SG Ball. That's the most important thing in my eyes. I think we've talked about it on the show that during COVID, without New South Wales Cup and that, a lot of the young Warriors that we're seeing thrown into first grade haven't got to learn their trade yet. So they're kind of learning on the job in the top stage, which isn't ideal for them or for the Warriors. So your likes of, you know, Rocco Berry and those other young guys, the Kepu twins, they can get into New South Wales Cup and play regular football there. They'll be ready for when it's time to go to first grade. So I think it's a good step in the right direction. But what's your take, Richie? I know I sent you this picture when I got home that night.
It's nice to see sort of in writing a framework in place. You know, it's well documented that the whole COVID period has hit our club in particular very hard in terms of the development side of things. And I think when you look this year at the Kiwis, with no Warriors in the starting lineup, I believe, one or two in the wider squad, how that's affected the Warriors. So it's nice to see a framework in place. Hopefully, over the next few years, it starts to pay dividends and we see more young Kiwis coming through our ranks again.
Yeah, and I forgot to mention there's two parts in there that are highlighted yellow. That is in 23 and 24, the NRL side, their goal is to have a third of the roster local talent. And then in 2025, they want it 50-50 or 40-60 as the goal. Which is another good thing, is I know there's been a lot of criticism that it feels like it's just all Australians playing for them now. But yeah, so that's also a good goal, and it's in writing on there, and hopefully it's something they can stick with. And Adam Blair, from all I've heard, has been doing really well with the kids, so I think he's the right guy for the job there. And yeah, fingers crossed it means a fruitful future for us. It'll definitely make the show more enjoyable if it means Warriors success down the road. So yeah, I thought that was the biggest point to take out of the forum.
I just guess one question then in here is, we were talking perhaps about Stacey or one of the other assistant coaches who they said is staying on, hoping that they might be involved at sort of the lower levels rather than at the top. Does that mean that that kind of goes out the window?
That does. That was one of the ones we talked about last week behind the paywall, which I have, after you guys abused me, I've actually paid for the New Zealand
Hero. Man.
So I can get us the scoops, and Murphy's Law, there's been no big scoops on the premium this week. But yeah, they've basically announced that Justin Morgan and Stacey Jones are going to stay as assistants for the top side.
Okay.
I'm 50-50 on it. I like the idea of keeping Stacey there. Justin Morgan, I'm happy to help pay for his flight home. But it is what it is. And
Remember, folks, this is someone who didn't want to pay for the New Zealand Herald. He's willing to pay for the flights. Jeez.
I'm paying the big dollars now. And yeah, Jacko said no worries in starting 17 shows that the best Kiwis are all playing for Aussie clubs. Huge job awaits. A decent pathway system's an absolute must. Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that, you know, the Kiwis next year are going to have 80% Warriors because of this pathway. It is something that's going to take time. You look at Penrith, for example, they're the cream of the crop when it comes to developing the pathways. And it took a couple of years to bring those guys through. But it's just going to be better having, I think, these young guys actually getting New South Wales Cup experience before throwing into first grade.
Yeah.
So I think it's a win-win there. If the Warriors top side isn't doing well, hopefully the New South Wales Cup side's doing all right, so we've got another Warriors team to cheer on. But we'll move on from that now. The Tigers have revealed a $78 million center of excellence. It's if you've watched American sport, it's very similar to the American sport environment. So it's got like a training field, NRL and NRLW, dressing rooms, gym, swimming pool, sauna, steam room. They've even got a barber in there. It's essentially a one-stop shop for players to prepare for footy. I did see there was a lot of stuff coming out. They've got legends of the club and little facts, and they had an era with Benji Marshall's one where they said he won a premiership with the Dragons. So they fixed that. they'll fix that. But what did you see anything on it, Richie?
No, not really. I just saw your notes. I thought it was pretty funny. They got a barber there. Hopefully that means no more shocking haircuts. And the word excellence and Tigers being put in the same sentence also made me chuckle. But hopefully it helps them, because they've been languishing for a better part of over a decade now.
Yeah, and Simon says he guesses it's not necessarily a violation of salary cap if they have a centre of excellence. No, it's fine. It's a training facility, so it doesn't count for your cap or anything like that. But, yeah, they need all the help they can get, to be brutally honest. So if they've got the money to do it, you know, it's great. It looks, from what I've seen, it looks like a great thing. It would definitely, I think, be a carrot to tour, like if you're trying to bring players into the club, when they see that's where they get to call home, you know, it looks quite inviting. So that could be a nice little carrot to lure some players there, because they're going to need them.
So people like Papali'i don't want to backflip, you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
nice. They spent $78 million to make sure Papali'i doesn't backflip. We'll go on to the Bulldogs now. They've finally... We can stop talking about rumours. They've announced that Cameron Serraldo has been signed on as head coach. He's been given a 5-year deal starting next year. It was kind of the most obvious thing that was going to happen. But what's your take on 5 years? for a guy in his first gig? Do you think it's a risk, or do you think if it's not working, Gould will just flick him out anyway like they did with Barrett?
Yeah, 5 years for a rookie coach, I mean, you could say it's risky. I mean, we saw Trent Barrett was sort of a rookie coach too, and we've seen how that worked out. And we know Gus Gould, he could be cutthroat at any organization he's at. We've seen it with the Panthers. He fired Cleary and hired Anthony Griffin, and so we've seen he's got form in that area. But Cameron Serrato has some pretty big raps on him. There must be some sort of truth to that. If people have, so many clubs have been chasing him and willing to pay him a good wage. So we'll see how it works out. I mean, obviously, assistant coach is a lot different to a head coach role, and coaching the Bulldogs is a lot different to coaching at the Panthers. But he's got a couple of big recruits coming next year. So,
yeah.
What he's got to work with is a lot better than what Trent Barrett had to work with.
Is it a double-edged sword, though, having all the expectations because of that roster coming in?
And the expectations will be high, yeah.
Yeah, so he's the best candidate for the job if it was what he wanted. I still think Mick Potter had potential, but, yeah, they've gone with Serraldo, and, yeah, like Jacko said, you've got both Panthers assistants going to the Dogs and the Warriors, and we'll get to see who has the better rub of the green at the start of their first grade careers. I have my fingers crossed it's Webster. But we've got more news. Since we've got rid of the rumours about coaching, we'll go back to players. So rumours are swirling again that Cameron Munster is set to sign a 4-year deal with the Dolphins that will make him the highest paid player in the NRL. Do you think it will actually happen, Richie? They've said it many times already, and they keep saying no, no, no. But now it's firming as potentially a yes.
Money talks, Brad. Like, honestly, I would have said that he looks good at Melbourne and he looks comfortable at Melbourne, but money always talks. So, you know, the Dolphins have missed out on a couple of big targets they had. So, and Munster's one of the hottest properties in the game right now. So if they throw him a pretty sizable offer, might be pretty hard to turn down. And I think, if I'm honest, Cameron Munster changes the complexion of the Dolphins. If you put him into their roster, things start looking a lot more rosy for them.
Definitely. If he can get there, they'll go from 17th to 16th. So it'll be great for them. it'll be great. Yeah, he's kind of done everything. Yeah, so Jacko said Munster turned down the Storm's latest offer to go to open market in November. So, yeah,
I think
if he was going to stay with the Storm, he would have taken their offer. Mm. But, yeah, what else can he do in Melbourne, to be brutally honest? Money does talk, but I think some players like to challenge themselves too. You've won a title with Melbourne. You've done everything you can there, really. Maybe it is time, or maybe he's just seeing the writing on the wall with all these other Storm players leaving. Maybe it's the time to leave while the Storm is still going reasonably well, and not be the guy that has to carry this side potentially. I'm not sure, but we'll keep our ear to the ground and hopefully we'll have something a bit more sturdy. I say it probably won't be till November-ish. So we'll probably be finished our season by then. But if there's something big announcement, I'm sure we can do a special one-off or something. But we'll figure it out. But hopefully we've got some news before then. Junior Paulo has pledged his allegiance to Samoa for the upcoming World Cup. What's your take on that as the token Samoan on the show?
Yep, fantastic, mate. They're building quite a squad now. So just gets me more and more excited to see what Samoa might produce in the upcoming World Cup. Obviously, yeah. my allegiance is firmly Kiwis, but Samoa is a nice second option I have in my pocket. So, I'm really looking forward to seeing what these big names might do, Polo and also some of the other ones like Luai and guys like that. So,
yeah.
Yep, it's exciting, mate.
it'll make the World Cup interesting for us, both Kiwis fans, but you're going with Samoa and I go with Tonga. So
yeah,
it keeps that island flair going, but it'll be, it's making the World Cup look more exciting, I think. So yeah, great news. And we probably potentially have more news in the next coming weeks on other players. But we've got Isaiah Papali'i. His management have reportedly contacted the Tigers and confirmed that he is going to honour his contract. So the exciting news, we were potentially talking about him coming to the Warriors and whatnot. We can basically put that all to bed. And I think taking my bias out of the way, I think it is the best decision for everyone. I think you kind of need, if you're signing contracts, I'm sick of seeing these players leave them. So sign a contract and honour it. So it's good to see that cooler heads have prevailed and he will go to the Tigers. What's your take on it?
Yeah, I tend to agree. As much as it would have been great to have him come here, that's kind of why I asked you the question I asked you last week, to see how you would feel about him coming here, if that meant he broke a contract that he'd signed. I'm like you, I'm getting, it's pretty tiresome seeing that contracts don't mean anything in rugby league. So I'm hoping he does go there and you know, honour his contract, because I think he could be massive for the Tigers with Upi Korosau going there as well.
Yeah.
That club needs a couple of big names like that.
Yeah, definitely. And it's not all the players. Like, there are times when clubs, you know, rip up a contract and they're like, if someone, they've signed a big deal contract with a player and that player's not playing well, they immediately start looking to see if they can offload them somewhere. So it is a two-way street. But hopefully this is going to be the start of them being a bit more stern. I think that's where the NRL needs to step up and actually make these contracts a bit more concrete. But we'll see what happens there. We've got a whole lot here on the Newcastle Knights. As your wooden spoon team, I thought we better mention it. But Kalyn Ponga got into the news this week. He was found in the toilets of a bar with Kurt Mann. Ponga's dad came out and said that his son had a bit too much to drink, and Kurt Mann was, you know, holding his hair back for him. Staff at the bar said that the guys basically had only been there 20 minutes and weren't intoxicated. The NRL has drug tested both players, but the results haven't come out yet. And on top of all of that, Bradman Best and Inari Tuala have been stood down for missing the team bus. What do you think's going to happen with Kalyn Ponga, for one? If this happens, what type of punishment do you see happening? Because they've kind of already set a platform. You know, they stood down David Klemmer for yelling at an on-field assistant. These two have been stood down for being late to a bus. So if Kalyn Ponga's done something drug-related and he's the captain, what would you see the Newcastle Knights having to do? They're kind of painting themselves in a corner. They can't just not punish him.
Exactly. I think you shared the same opinion I did, Brad, when the club came out against Klemmer for refusing to come off the field. I thought they were over the top there. I mean, look... We don't have any hard evidence right now, but looking at those, at what happened there, I think you can kind of read between the lines, so to speak. in terms of punishment, not too sure, mate. I've heard, watching NRL 360, Buzz Rothfield sort of talking about he should be stripped of his captaincy. Maybe that's one route they can go, because you would expect a bit more from your club captain, highest paid player, just signed on a huge contract. You'd expect them to set more of a standard.
It's going to be a biggie. Jacko said they should just fine Ponga and make it a biggie. Yeah, because I was having a conversation with my nana, of all people, about it last night, and said, like, you know, banning him from games isn't going to help, because we're going to talk about it later in casualty ward. He's out for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
So banning him for a game is going to do nothing, and they're not going to want to ruin their chances next year by starting the season without him, which, you know, if he is in potentially trouble once these drug things come back, it may be taken out of their hands. But we just got to wait and see. And Jacko also said he needs to break away from his dad manager.
I was just going to say, I agree completely, Jacko. His dad is talking way too much for him in the media. And if it comes out and they've been doing naughty things in that toilet, then it just shows his dad's lying to try and cover up for him. So what does that say?
Yeah, it's not good to have families in charge of management. Yeah, I feel like it's the same with any working situation. Working with families, not really ideal. And yeah, Paul says we should get my nana on the show. I can't even get her to watch the show. She doesn't understand how technology works, Paul.
And she wouldn't be the only one to know more than us.
Yeah.
We set a pretty low bar.
She is the one who got me into league, so she should know something. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting week, I think. So we'll probably have a lot more on the Newcastle situation by next Wednesday. So I look forward to us discussing that, because I know Richard loves talking about the woes of the Knights as much as I do about the Dragons. So
it's fantastic. Yeah.
Last bit of news before we move on. It's kind of new. There was an email come out from the Warriors for the last round of the season is also their last home game against the Titans. They're going to use that to celebrate the anniversary of their 2002 grand final appearance. Former players are going to be there. And they've also announced that after the match, they're actually going to have their season awards. They usually do, you know, your season end of year awards, best player, all that jazz. They're actually going to do it live at the stadium, and they're inviting all the fans that are at the game onto the pitch for it. Just sounds like a great idea, getting a chance to get out on Mount Smart and potentially see some of the players up close, which is something us Kiwi fans haven't got to do that much. But yeah, it should be a great way to end what's been a poor season. And I think it means you actually have to come up to this one, Richie. I know you keep making excuses to not come up, but it should be a great time. And it'll be something that we can talk about on the show in the week after. But that was all I had for news, so we may as well go into injuries. There was quite a few, but I've only picked our top dogs. We'll go with Seagulls first. They got hit with two season-ending injuries. Jason Saab is injured his ACL, and Jake Trbojevic broke his hand. So we're going to talk about their game in a little bit, but how do you think that puts their top eight chances now, Richie?
Oh, I think they're already putting their own top eight chances to bed, mate. I think if you're, I mean, obviously we'll review the game, but if you're chasing that number eight spot and you've got an opportunity to come up against the last place team and you get 40 plus points put on you, it's not boding well. I feel for Saab too. I mean, it was a little innocuous. It wasn't a big contact or anything. It was kind of just leaping for a ball and yeah, ACL done. How many ACLs have we seen this season? So,
so many. I should probably work it out at some point so we can talk about it on the show. But it feels like we're talking about one every week in this segment. Mm. But we'll change it from the ACL to an MCL, which is Sharp Toby Rudolph. He did his MCL, and I haven't seen the official word yet, but he potentially could be done for the rest of the season as well. I'm just trying to find it. And Simon says, get my nana a smart TV. And I'm spending all this money getting the news from the Herald now. I can't afford smart TV. I don't even have a smart TV next to me right now. Hold on. I am just going to the injury section on the website to see if we've got an update on thing. While I'm doing that, Liam Martin from the Panthers rolled his ankle and has been sent for scans. Kalyn Ponga, as mentioned earlier, has been ruled out for the rest of the year. So what do you think about Martin and Ponga while I'm looking? Oh, yeah. Okay. Toby Rudolph is going to miss 4 weeks.
Yeah.
So he should be back for the second week of finals.
Mm. presuming they make it that far, which they've got every chance.
Yeah, and Liam Martin is named this week.
Okay, yeah. Well, rolling your ankle is not always the most serious thing. Rudolph's been fantastic for Cronulla as well, so he'll be a welcome addition come finals time if he recovers from that in time. And Ponga, I was pretty much expecting that would be the outcome. That probably means he won't go to the World Cup too, I'm guessing. He'll probably just try and recoup for Newcastle early next year.
He did say that he wanted to play, but with what's just happened, that also might be taken out of his hands as well anyway. Yeah. And I don't, if you're out with like concussion protocols and stuff, I don't see Mal Meninga picking him, to be honest. He's got other fullbacks he can pick. So at the moment, with how everything's going, I think there's no one within 10 feet of Latrell Mitchell that's currently healthy. You know, Tommy Turbo's on the sidelines too. So, and Jacko said that Hughes is likely out for Storm. Yeah, there's still question marks around him. He was named to make his return this week, but he potentially could be pulled before the game actually happens.
I think Tedesco and Dylan Edwards might have something to say about that call of about Latrell there, Brad.
Tedesco's rubbish. he's no Latrell. No, yeah. Tedesco, he'll probably play for Italy.
I think Tedesco will be a shoo-in for the Kangaroos jersey and Latrell will play centre.
You're just being biased there. But yeah, they'll both be in the side. We know it's going to be a big team. But that was all the big ones for the injuries. So we'll go into the Naughty Boy corner. No suspensions this week, but a stack load of fines. So I'm just going to read the list. Matt Burden got fined $1,800 for a shoulder charge. Ryan Madison got $1,800 for dangerous contact. Tui Kamika. $1,000 fine for dangerous contact. Luciano Leilua got $1,500 for a crusher tackle. Joseph Suwali got $1,000 for a high tackle. Teague Wilton got $1,800 for a dangerous contact. Anthony Milford wins the week, getting $3,000 for a shoulder charge. And Dylan Walker got $750 for a high tackle. And over on the other side of the hemisphere, Corey Norman got, I think it's, is it 8 weeks?
Yeah.
He got 8 weeks for a Hopewadi, which I'm not going to explain on this show. So, Paul, look it up. And everyone else, I'm sure,
they will know.
knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So that is our injury corner, which means we'll go into the round. So that means I pass the floor to you, Richie, and you can get us started.
Thank you, Brad. Thursday night's match was a battle of the heavyweights, Panthers versus the Storm, and the Storm actually held the Panthers scoreless for the first time in, I don't know how long, Brad, you can look that up. 16-0 to the Storm, 3 tries to zip. For the Storm, Nick Meaney, Brandon Smith, and David Nofoluma getting on the score sheet for his adopted team. All three tries were scored in the first 30 minutes of the game, and we had a scoreless second half. But, yeah, that's a unicorn, Brad, seeing the Panthers held to zip.
Especially at home.
Especially at home. And last week, even without their two halves and without Kikau and some big names, they still looked like the Panthers, but not this week.
I'm not being rude. I'm just looking on the other screen to see if I can find the last time they held scoreless. it will probably take me longer than our show.
That's right.
It's been a while. But the Panthers, they got the job done last week without their halves, but I think the biggest difference this week was the missing James Fisher-Harris. You know, he's probably the best front row in the game right now, in my opinion. And they just missed his punch up the middle. And if your forwards, I'm going to mention it a few times in the show, but if your forwards aren't doing the job up the middle, it doesn't matter if you've got the best backs or the worst backs out there. They're not going to have anything. And Sean O'Sullivan and the like. They're good fill-ins, but I think this kind of shows that they're not ready to be first grade regulars. They got some decent competition in this one, in a Storm team without Jerome Hughes, which we've seen the Storm fall apart without Jerome Hughes. So the fact that they were able to be as clinical as they were, wasn't the greatest game by them by any stretch, but you end a game beating Panthers by 16 and keeping them to zero. That's a win in my book. The thing I think with the Panthers, though, it will be very disappointing for them, this type of result, but they're going to get all their big guys back in time for finals. So they're still heavy favorites in my eyes to go all the way. But yeah, great effort from the Storm. I've got here Nelson dominated the middle without Fisher going against him. And we saw Cameron Munster, Harry Grant, and Brandon Smith have field days because of that. And Storm are just getting back into the groove at the right time. And their defense, I think, is something I didn't mention here. Their defense is great. If they don't stop you the first time, their cover defense fixes everything up. And that potentially could be the difference when it comes to finals footy for them. So, and yeah, Jacko said the Panthers miss Edwards at fullback big time. Yeah, I think so. He's been one of their better players this year.
And Anthony Peake on the Brad's Anger wrap-up page commented, June 2015. So there you go. It's been over 7 years.
First one in 7 years.
Yeah. Thank you.
Very knowledgeable people you have on your page, Brad.
Yeah, someone has to be. So
yeah. Let's move to the game we want to talk about. Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
about time. About time we look forward to talking about a Warriors game.
Yes, and a 40-plus point victory too. It's been a long time since we've talked about that many tries coming from our team, but all right, I'll get into it. Warriors 42, Bulldogs 18, 7. Yes, you heard it right, 7 tries for the Warriors. Filiomi Valea, Dallin Martinez-Lesniak, Edward Cossey with a double. Yes, what a man. His try-scoring form is fantastic. Ali Katoa, Sean Johnson with a vintage Sean Johnson try, and Adam Fanor Blake. And for the Bulldogs, Jake Avarillo, Kyle Flanagan, and the Fox, Josh Adokar, with a signature intercept try. Yeah, take the floor, Brad. You were at the game. Go for it. I know you must be itching to talk about it.
Yeah, I've never been happier to get a prediction wrong with the Warriors surprising me here. This was their biggest win since 2016. They look set to win this game for the majority of the match. But I was nervous when the Bulldogs scored those two tries quickly in the second half. I was in talking to people on Facebook at halftime, and I was basically saying, it's great, 18-6 at halftime. You watch the Bulldogs come back. We've been here before. We've been here too many times. But the Warriors didn't drop their heads after those two tries. And then they put up a flurry, scoring 3 in quick succession at the end to put a stamp on it. It was just great to see a decent performance in what's been such a disappointing year. Forwards all played well. In particular, it was hard to actually pinpoint anyone to be my player to improve in my review this week. I gave it to no one. Sean Johnson, I thought, had one of his better games in some time. I know everyone's talking about his intercept try that went to Josh Adokar. He's not the first player to have that happen to him this year with Adokar. But take that out of it, I think he did quite well. I was looking into his stats because I know SJ's getting a lot of heat from a lot of fans. He's actually 11th in the NRL right now with try assists. And when you think we don't score that many tries, that's not too bad. So he is doing it right. It's just the negatives kind of seem to overtake everything. And, you know, when everyone's talking, I'll talk about Burton in a little bit, but no one's talking about the fact that Burton sent Dallin to the other end with an intercept try. All they're talking about are his bombs and stuff. So the odd one happens every now and then. And I read with my premium subscription to Herald, there was an interview with Sean Johnson. And he said, like, as soon as he threw that pass, he said he took it out of his mind and said, all I've got to do is make up for it. And I think he did.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Yeah, Jacko said it's great to see Sean Johnson happy again, as he looked miserable earlier in the season. Yeah, I just don't think you can. I think I was talking with a few of the Aussie boys and said you just can't take away what it's like to play at home. You know, these guys just look so much happier. Even the game against Storm where they lost at Mount Smart, they still looked better than some of these games in Australia. Unfortunately, they got 2 weeks in Australia against the Cowboys and the Panthers, which isn't the greatest road trip, but hopefully it's built some confidence back into them. But I thought Dejan Arce, Viliami Velia, and Ed Cossey all had strong showings. Ed Cossey, his redemption story has been really heartwarming.
Wow, that's fantastic.
You know, I think it's, what, 7 tries now in the last 4 games since his return. It's just one of those things. When he got dropped after that abysmal game against the Storm, he worked really hard playing for the Dolphins. And that kind of flows back to our new section about New South Wales Cup. So when you have stuff like that, you've actually got a place to put these guys to kind of get their confidence back, rather than just say, you were real rubbish last week, go out there and be better. It just doesn't always work. But yeah, great performance from the Warriors. Jacko said, yeah, the lethal left cook, we need to sign him ASAP. Sounds like it's not going to happen. I would like to keep him, but they do have a lot of halves options coming. So I guess if you're looking at it, do you have RC at 6 or would you have Tamara Martin? You're probably going to go with Martin. So I can see it, but I would like to keep him, but I'd like to keep everybody. So, but yeah, I think as much as I want RC, the Warriors need another front rower. So I'd rather them focus on getting another front rower than re-signing RC in that situation. Yeah, and Mikey's mentioned the merch as well. Jack Birchie's been playing well. He is one of the players I expect to be gone at the end of the year. If they're letting Katoa go early, I don't see them re-signing merch. But I think the way he's been playing the last couple of weeks, he's definitely going to pick up a contract somewhere. I think he's been playing really well. And, yeah, Bulldogs, I've just put on here, they are the Bulldogs of old. They scored 3 tries, 2 of them were 3 mistakes from the Warriors. So if we didn't see Warriors' errors help them, they might have only been 1 try in this game because they didn't look like scoring anything else. And, yeah, poor errors. Burton was kept quiet. He did do a couple of his big bombs, which I finally got to see in person. And they are intimidating. I wouldn't want to be out there. From the sideline, I saw them and it was like, that's no one's idea of a good time. But they just couldn't keep the Warriors forwards contained. That was it. And yeah, Simon said his instincts were right for this game.
Good man.
I don't even want to talk about how great Simon's picks were this week. We'll see about that at the end. Hopefully for Bulldogs fans, this was just a blip. And they'll go back to being competitive like we've seen for the last month and a half. But yeah, Jacko said they look tired, maybe short turn around, then travel got to them. That's what a lot of people have been saying. But I just don't have sympathy as a Warriors fan with all the travel they do. But I think personally it was because they went and did some training with the Auckland Blues. And if anything's going to make you bad, it's going to be associating with them. So I think that was their downfall. But your take on the game before we move on.
Yeah, mate, I loved it, obviously. Anytime the Warriors score 42 points I'm happy. It was 18-6 at halftime. I think I had three different people message me saying, "You confident?" And my answer back was, "No, I'm not," because two try leads to the Warriors at halftime don't mean anything. No. And then the Bulldogs come out after halftime and score two tries almost straight away. And the nerves were pretty high, but I was just so pleased the boys didn't drop their head. And not only did they answer back, they actually piled it on in the last 10 minutes and put a team away, which we haven't seen in so long. So, yeah, I thought our halves were fantastic. I'm loving what the redemption story of Cossie, just like you already said, took the words out of my mouth. I think they're nicknaming that corner at Mount Smart Cossie's corner now, so I've heard. So, and they, Mount Smart, have come out and said that Roger Shuey-Vasashek does not have a lifetime ban. So,
yeah, good news all around. I forgot to mention that in the news section. So, obviously, there was a lot more. There was a lot of news about Roger Shuey-Vasashek being banned for life from the stadium. I kind of was talking to the Australian guys that talked about it because it broke in Australia before it even was mentioned here. That Mount Smart doesn't do lifetime bans. They never have. So I kind of knew it was probably an overzealous security guard making these claims. And that sounds like what it was. And Shuey-Vasashek's dad is a good friend of the club. He's actually been the MC for most of the members forums we've gone to, Richie. He wasn't this year. But so it's like if anyone's going to get told they're welcome back, it's going to be him. He's in high in the pecking order of Warriors members. So, as soon as I saw it, I was like, no, he'll be back. And the Warriors actually released a press conference saying, he is back. And I think he's bringing a gumboot to the last home game. He's going to do a shoey out of gumboot and raising money for charity. So it's good to see. A nice little story. But, yeah, great. We could talk about it all night, but we can't. So,
how was the atmosphere? I just wanted to ask you that.
Oh, great atmosphere.
Looked great on TV.
Only 16,000 at the stadium, but you've been there. 10,000 sounds like 30 in Australia.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was cold. That's the one thing I do remember. It was really, really cold. And thankfully, they put on a show so you didn't think about things like the weather. But yeah, it's always a great atmosphere. I still miss the members' tent. If TK's still here, he put a post out on Facebook saying all members should email the club saying we want our members' tent back. So if you're listening, email the Warriors and say please bring it back, because that's a big important factor, as you know, Richie, as guys that have gone there for so long. The members' tent is an integral part of your game day experience.
Absolutely. I mean, so I think that was our ritual. Walk up to the game, head to the tent before the game, have a couple of beers and a snack, head over to your seat. It amps you up for the game, being around all the other hardcore members. So
And if you win, go back after the game.
Absolutely.
But yeah, great night. Hopefully the turnout is better for the final game against the Titans. It should be. Titans aren't traveling that well. So you'd think a lot more of the fair weather fans will come out as well. So fingers crossed it's a big one and that you're there.
Yeah, mate, trust me. I'm going to do my best to get there. Okay, the next game was the Rabbitohs over the Eels, 26-0. The inconsistent Eels are back, so been held scoreless this time. 5-0. For the Rabbitohs, Cody Walker, Isaac Thompson, Alex Johnston with a double, as he so often does, and Cody Walker with the tries. 14-0 at halftime. They nearly double their score in the second half. 26-0. What does this game tell you, Brad? Obviously, the Rabbitohs look great, and with Latrell there, I think they're might touch on it a little bit later, spoiler alert, but I think they're a threat to a lot of teams if they carry this over to the finals time. We've seen the Eels beat some big teams this year, notably the Panthers twice, and they've got a good record recently against Melbourne. But I think come finals time, They can't be having off games like this, can they?
No, this is the Eels that we're used to, though, or that I'm used to. They were simply outclassed here. Rabbitohs are a really good side right now. But like you said, if the Eels want to be a threat in the finals, they need to compete like they've done against the Panthers twice, but do it against everyone. You know, the only chance right now of them winning a premiership is if they play the Panthers every week of the finals.
Yeah,
they've just got to be able to find that way. But I just don't think they do. Do they have it? Jake Arthur had a poor night, poor guy. You know, I feel for him. But he's young. He hasn't found that consistency yet. The return of Mitch Moses may help them get back on track, but we all know my feelings on the flat track bully that is Moses. I don't know if it'll help them. He's better than Jake Arthur at least, but I just don't see it with the Eels. This is legitimately their last shot at winning a premiership for some time.
Mm.
And I think they've screwed the pooch on it. So, I don't think they got it.
Very eloquent.
And South, they just look great right now, as you said. They still made too many errors for my liking.
Yeah.
But with the way the Eels were playing, it didn't really matter. Damian Cook was great. Star of the show again was Latrell Mitchell. He's just so dangerous, and it's great to watch when it's not against the Warriors. As you just mentioned a little bit there, Rabbits are starting to firm as a title threat for me. They've had some good outings, but holding the Eels to nil is a big statement. So, great effort from the Rabbits.
Yeah, imagine not scoring any points in a game. That's coming from a Warriors fan.
we might have almost had 50 on us, but we at least scored 10.
Two teams this week.
Yeah, you're right. So, on Saturday we had the Roosters over the Cowboys in a top eight clash. So we had 6-3 for the Roosters. Joseph Suaalii, Matt Lodge, Daniel Tupou, Sam Verrills, Jared Waitea Hargraves, and Sam Verrills with a second try. For the Cowboys, Murray Taulagi, Reece Robson, and Tabuai Fodeau with the Cowboys tries. This is a good win for the Roosters, Brad, over the Cowboys, who, as we know, have been travelling really, really well this year. And is that five in a row? Is it five in a row for the Roosters?
I think it is.
I think it was. Correct me if I'm wrong, people in the chat. But, yeah, the Roosters finally starting to show some Roosters pedigree. And hopefully for my preseason predictions, firming themselves as a part of the top eight.
Yeah, and Jacko said they could be the first side to win the comp from outside the top four. It's there again, I put them in the same category as the Storm and the Panthers. They're ones that they might not, if they're not playing well, you can never really write them off.
Yeah.
It's still the Roosters. So I don't know how far they'll go, but if you tell me that they win the whole thing, I wouldn't be entirely shocked, to be brutally honest. It was an emotional night for the Cowboys, obviously, with the passing of Paul Green. So I thought they'd be up for this match, but the Roosters weren't going to be denied here. It was another strong outing from Victor Radley, and if Radley plays well, the Roosters play well. Big efforts from Matt Lodge and Jared Ware Hargraves. Some big meters from them, and they both scored tries, which is good. Yeah, Jacko said that damn Lodge played well. He's really played well. I reckon he could be a player. We need a prop. We should target him, I reckon. it'd be great. We're already paying him, so that would be a bonus.
I was going to say, not bad for a guy the Roosters are only paying about 100K towards, right?
Yeah. It was just, as I said earlier about I think it was the Panthers, with the forwards not doing the job, the backs don't help. This is what happens when your forwards do well. We could have mentioned it. We did kind of mention the Warriors game too, but the Roosters forwards were just a freight train going forward. And that meant all the backs, and they have some pretty decent ones, could just have a field day. And it just looks like they're getting back to business. But for the Cowboys, they'll be disappointed. They just didn't play good enough to beat a top eight side, if I'm brutally honest. Their usually solid defense took a big step backwards, and they made too many errors. Their front row wasn't doing a lot. And yeah, it just makes everything so much harder for them. But it makes me very nervous as a Warriors fan, as the Cowboys be out to prove something and play for Paul Green back at their first game at home after his passing. So I'm actually super worried and nervous, unfortunately. And yeah, Jacko said that Cowboys have peaked too early. That potentially could be it as well. They might have hit their prime, like the Parramatta that we've seen the last couple of years, where they're the best team on the planet about 2 months too early.
Possibly. Although, come finals time, you get Townsend and Dearden having a decent game, and they do have some very capable forwards. Obviously, Nanai, Neem, Cotter, those guys, you get them all firing, and they're going to worry some teams in the finals. So, although I agree, Jacko, I think they haven't been at their absolute best recently. I think if they fire, they're gonna worry whoever they're up against.
Yeah.
The next game was the Sharks and the Tigers. So the Sharks getting up over the Tigers 36-12, 6-2 for the Sharks. Lachlan Miller, Matt Ikivalu, Royce Hunt, Cade Dykes, son of Adam Dykes, getting his first NRL try. Braden Hamlin-Ueli and Jesse Ramien. 2 tries for the Tigers, Fa'amanu Brown and Luke Garner. Thought the Sharks were pretty good value, as they have been for a lot of this year, Brad. Another team that looks a decent threat this year. Tigers. The Tigers.
Yeah, I don't have much on here. I just said Tigers played as expected and so did the Sharks.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's all I really had. I did put one more note, which I've said every week since his injury, but Tigers just have no direction without Hastings, and Nico directed his side well. So it's probably the shortest one I've ever had to do on this show.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know Cade Dykes filling in at fullback for the Sharks. He looks a good prospect, but you had their regular fullback back in, and they're looking pretty deadly comes finals time. Again, another team I wouldn't be too happy facing if my team were in the finals, which they aren't, but wouldn't want to face them.
Yeah.
Broncos versus Knights, 28-10, the Broncos over the Knights. 5-2, Selwyn Cobbo with a hat-trick, Corey Oates and Ezra Mamm. 2 tries to the Knights, Daniel Saifidi, Bradman Best. Broncos got back on track, Brad. I didn't think they were overly convincing. They made a lot of errors still, 13 errors, and kept the Knights in the game for quite a lot of it. The Broncos scored 2 tries in the last 10 minutes to flatter their scoreline a bit. So if I'm a Broncos fan, I'm probably not over the moon, but at that stage, they needed a win either way. I was more paying close attention to Marty Martin, who I thought looked really slick for them at the back. Obviously, Cobbo with a hat trick. He made a few errors, though, but they did what they needed to do.
Yeah, I didn't really have too many notes on this one either due to the score. But I've got, Adam Reynolds looks like he's getting back to that form we saw earlier in the year. Tamara Martin, the Broncos look more dangerous with him in there, which makes me happy as a Warriors fan that he's coming here. It's a better performance than the last few for the Broncos, but it's going to be a big test this week when they face the Storm. And I've just got on here, Knights are awful, no direction on attack. Turnstiles on defense, and I'm not sure if 2023 will fare much better. Do I put my first coach to be fired prediction in now and pick Adam O'Brien?
Possibly, because he's not doing himself any favors with his press conferences and that. But I think there's a lot of trouble in that organization. I don't know that it's all Adam O'Brien. I think it just doesn't seem like a happy place there at the moment, and the results are sort of speaking to that. But Hey, again, it's making another one of my predictions look not too bad. So keep it going, Knights. We'll move on to the Raiders versus Dragons. The Raiders getting up 24-22 in a very tight, intense game. 4 tries apiece for the Raiders: Hudson Young, Jordan Rapana, Ryan Sutton, and Albert Hopewadi. And for the Dragons, Talatau Omone grabbing a hat-trick and Talatau Monga grabbing the 4 tries for the Dragons. Very funny. I hope you enjoyed it, Simon, if you're still there. Pretty much a reversal of what happened the first time these two teams met earlier in the year. Dragons down by a couple points, make a big breakout with about 20 seconds left. Get into position inside the 22, and the Raiders intentionally hold down the ball carrier. No penalty comes.
No, and it wasn't penalty worthy. Stop it.
It's pretty much the rugby league gods just reversing what happened earlier in the year. It was a square up, wasn't it?
It was righting a wrong from earlier in the year.
It was a square up.
But yeah, it was an entertaining match, which is not something I normally say when it comes to the Dragons. Omone was electric. Ben Hunt looked solid. He kicked a 40-20 and a 20-40, I believe.
Yeah, amazing.
In this game, which is amazing to do in a single match. One of the Dragons' better efforts, and they'll be disappointed not to get the win here, but they left their run in the game too late. As you said, there was a controversial finish with some believing the Dragons deserved a penalty. I don't think they did, but I am biased. Raiders started strong but struggled again in the second half, which we're used to saying. And like Simon said, if the game had gone longer, they would have lost it. But yeah, their defense did enough to seal the win. I thought Josh Papali'i and Albert Hapawadi played really well for the Raiders too. And the Raiders, they need to find another gear and aim to sneak into the top 8. You know, they're very close. They do have a game against the Knights this week, which should help them. But, you know, spoilers for the latter later on, they're 2 points out of the 8. So they might be able to squeeze in, but there's some good teams at the bottom of the top 8. So, and yeah, Jack, I said neither are top 8 sides. Yeah, if the season ended now with them both not in the 8, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think they've done enough for the whole of the season. But yeah, I thought it was a good, exciting contest at least. And yeah, at least the Dragons showed they can score points, which some of the other teams weren't able to.
Yeah.
Last game.
Before we move on.
Sorry, you want to talk too, don't you?
I'll have a little talk. Yeah, thanks. The Raiders do have the Knights. I think they also have Manly as well. Am I right there? And if Manly are losing by 40-plus points to the last-place team, I think Raiders still have a good chance, but they might still be relying on one of the other teams to lose.
Raiders don't have a bad draw.
Their draw is pretty friendly.
They have the Knights this week. They have Manly next week. Yep, and then Manly. In the final round, they have the Tigers.
Yeah, see? That's very winnable. All three of those games are very winnable for them.
Yeah.
So hopefully Simon might get lucky and the Raiders might win all three of those. And
the hardest game out of that's Manly, and they're playing in Canberra. So
yeah, and as we're about to find out in the next game, Manly aren't travelling too well at the moment. So the next game was Manly up against the Titans, and the Titans absolutely gave it to them, 44-24. 7 tries to 4 for the Titans: Jamin Jolliffe, Jojo Fifita, Brian Kelly, Bo Furmore, AJ Brimson. David Fifita with a very signature try, fantastic try, and Bo Furmore grabbed another one. 4 tries for Manly: Ruben Garrick, Jake Travojevic, Brad Parker, and Tolutau Kola. I certainly didn't tip this one, Brad. I thought with the season on the line, I thought Manly would show up here and put in their best effort, but, mate, they got dominated. I know it was Titans' home ground, but they haven't been a lot of chop this year, and they certainly turned up. I thought Tanner Boyd's really good. I know he's ex-Australian schoolboy number seven. So maybe the Titans, they've looked pretty thin in the halves this year, should persist with him, because I think he's been looking pretty good lately. I didn't see this coming. This pretty much ended Manly's hopes, Brad, and they were your premiership tip.
My premiership team.
Yeah. What's going on?
At least your predicted premiers are still in the eight. Tommy Turbo let me down in my predictions. Full disclaimer. He was meant to win everything in my predictions, and he didn't do well. This was the upset of the round for me. I didn't see it coming, just like you. Titans were without their best player in Big Tino, and they just put on a big show. Hard to pick anyone on the side that I've got here that played bad. As you said, David Fifita had his big play of the month with that great long-distance try. Yep. So that's probably the last time we'll see him this year. AJ Brimson was dangerous with the ball in hand. Brian Kelly was busy. Yep. They just showed up, which is not something they've done a lot this year. Hopefully it means that they could use this as a stepping stone for next year. Tanner Boyd looks like he's got potential. Kieran Foran's coming in. Sam Verrills. They do have some interesting pieces of the puzzle coming in. It was a good one. Hopefully this is their last surprise, because I don't want them to come to New Zealand with a lot of confidence. But Manly, I just don't know what to say. They are very poor. The rumours of infighting after the Pride jersey situation may be truer than what we originally thought when we talked about it, as it's clear that the side's not on the same page. Josh Schuster's form continues to fall. I don't know what's going on with him, but he needs to find his groove again, because he essentially pushed Kieran Foran out of the club because he wants to be a half. And right now, I don't even know if I'd pick him in the 17. They still have a chance of making the 8. But if this performance is any indication, I think their season's over, as you said.
Yeah, it's certainly looking that way. And you're right on... what was his name?
Schuster.
He was one of the ones that missed David Fifita too on his runaway to the try line. So, yeah, I think maybe there is maybe a bit more to the situation there at Manly since the rainbow jersey saga. So, yeah, not fun times if you're a Manly fan. I would have, if I was a Manly fan, I would have been expecting everything on the line, a good hard effort, and they just got the opposite of that. So that was the round.
That's right. Cheers for that, Richie. And Paul, if you can bring up our tips. It was a disaster this week. Simon won the week with 6 out of 8, only getting 2 wrong. Hold on, which he got Manly getting beaten by the Titans wrong and the Cowboys losing to the Roosters wrong. He picked everything else right. Richie was second this week with 5 out of 8, getting the Panthers, Bulldogs, and Seagulls wrong. And then I only got 50%. I was last with 4 out of 8. I got Panthers, Bulldogs, Cowboys, and Seagulls wrong. Thankfully, I'm still in the lead.
It's tightening.
It's tightening. I have got 114 out of 168. Richie's only 2 behind now and 112 out of 168. And Simon's closing that gap as well, 109 out of 168. So I looked and double-checked and triple-checked my picks this week to make sure I don't have another poor week, because you could pass me maybe. Before we move on, if you can bring up the ladder as well, please, Paul. We haven't had too many changes. Panthers, Cowboys, Sharks, and Storm all stay the same in the top 4. The Rabbitohs have gone up to 5th. The Broncos have gone up to 6th. The Eels have gone down to 7th. The Roosters stay where they are at 8th. Raiders stay where they are at 9th. Manly stay where they are at 10. Dragons where they are at 11. Bulldogs stay where they are at 12. Warriors have gone up to 13th. Knights have gone down to 14th. And then because of that big win, the Titans have finally got themselves off the last place. And unfortunately, the Tigers have sunk back down. So I think I looked at it and they had best and worst positions, and they're basically 11 down are completely gone. So Manly and Raiders still have a chance. I say, depending on their results this week, it will either keep them in the hunt or wipe them out completely. So we potentially the top eight might be how it is now comes finals, but we will see. But yeah, that was the ladder. Any questions from anyone, Paul? Nope. Paul came and then Paul left. There we go. You're back now, Paul.
Am I? Okay, good. No, we've kind of handled all the comments as we've had them during the show.
Okay, cool.
Nice.
So I'll go with my own first. Mine's a bit quicker.
Sure.
So see, we're getting close to finals footy now. Who do you have as your smoky to take out the comp?
All right. So this is presuming, in my mind, I think the Panthers are still a firm favourite. So outside of them, Melbourne, I always sort of put up there as, you know, having every chance to win the premiership. So if I'm going to talk smokies outside of those two, we mentioned the Rabbitohs earlier, but I'll probably have to give you a couple because I think also the Sharks look every chance. They have the roster to do it. They have, I think they've got great coaching this year and they're just winning a lot of games. So, yeah, they're my two. I think Sharks and Rabbitohs. Rabbitohs just seem to be on a run now that they've got Latrell back. Cody looks a different player with them there. They're putting a lot of teams away, so I don't think they're going to be a team that somebody wants to come up against in the finals. So they would be my two smokies.
Yeah, so my smokies are Rabbitohs and Cowboys.
Okay.
So those are my two outside of the normals. But your question for me, and while he's doing that, Simon, if you can send through your picks, please, so I can write them down. But yeah, your question to me.
All right, my question to you, we've had a few big-name players now declaring themselves available for selection for Samoa for the upcoming World Cup. With that in mind, can you see them being a threat to the big teams come the World Cup? I know you like to support Tonga outside of the Kiwis as well, so do you think they can or will outperform Tonga, who would be a big rival of Samoa?
I think they'll be competitive. I don't think they'll beat Tonga. The one thing they have is they have halves where the Tongans don't. But that Tongan team is stacked. So I think they're going to be competitive, a lot more competitive with these guys coming in than they would have been. You know, you think their front row, Marty Tapau and Josh Papali'i, not Josh Papali'i, sorry. Who was it? Polo. I forgot already. See, I don't care about
Samoa. It's potentially going to be both of those guys, Brad.
Yeah, potentially, yeah. Junior Pollock, but you think even if they can get Josh Papali'i as well, so you have Tapau, Polo, Papali'i as your prop rotation, that's pretty deadly. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, but I still have my money on it being Australia, New Zealand or Tonga that are the big winners at the end of the day. What about you, though? You're Samoan, though, so you're biased.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Samoa might do Tonga. Hopefully they come up against each other. I haven't actually had a close look at the draw, but how good would that be if those two teams ended up meeting in a World Cup? That would be amazing. But, yeah, it's hard to look past, obviously, Kiwis in Australia.
Yeah, and after the NRL season's finished, I'm sure we're going to have a preview show of the World Cup where we can go over the draw and potential matchups anyway. So look forward to that in a couple of weeks. But, yeah, so that was our questions. We may as well go into round 23. Simon still hasn't sent us his picks yet, but I will get yours, and hopefully he sends them through soon. He put the tips up earlier. He's going to, yeah, I couldn't see them. I'll see if I can scroll up. Or can you find them for me, Paul, while we're going through? First up on Thursday, though, we have the Rabbitohs and Panthers. I've picked the Rabbitohs. Who have you picked?
I was going to pick the Rabbitohs. You know, I'm going to stick with the Rabbitohs.
Rabbitohs. Next up, we have the Cowboys Warriors. I've gone with the Cowboys.
Yeah, Cowboys.
So you're just going to copy me again. I see.
I didn't want to. I want to beat you.
The final game on Friday is Broncos Storm. I've gone with the Storm.
Yeah, Storm. Yeah.
Storm. Next up, we had Eels Bulldogs. I've gone with the Eels.
I think they're going to be fired up after being held to zero. I would love to pick the Bulldogs, but I'm going to go Eels.
All right. Seagulls Sharks. I've gone with the Sharks.
Sharks for me.
Right, so we're going exactly the same so far. Roosters Tigers. I've gone with the Roosters.
Yep, has to be Roosters.
Roosters. Dragons Titans. I have gone with the Dragons. Hurts me to my core.
Then I'll go Titans. There we go. There's our different match.
And then the last game is Knights Raiders. I've gone with the Raiders.
Yeah, Raiders.
Raiders. And I'll put in Simon's picks when I find them.
I can't see them.
Oh, yeah, maybe you didn't put the comment on here, Simon, because I can't see them in our comments. So if you can throw them up again, it'd be great. But before we go into Super League, the NRLW starts up this week as well. And we've got the three games. We've got on Saturday, we've got Eels Roosters. Sunday, we've got the Dragons Titans and Knights Broncos. So it's could be good to have those games back. I think the Knights are probably going to be the dark horse with my girl, Lily Boyle. Yeah. So it should be good. And we'll go into some Super League now. While we're waiting for Simon, St. Helens extend their lead at the top of the ladder, being the only top four side to win this round. Wigan stay second, Uddersfield stay third, and Catalans stay fourth. Wakefield defeating Wigan, unfortunately, sees them put a four gap between them and Toulouse, which should see the French side relegated now. So the scores we had there were Warrington defeating Toulouse 32-18, Castleford defeating Catalans 18-8, Leeds defeating Hull KR 28-20, Salford defeating Uddersfield 33-16, St. Helens just scraping through against Hull FC 60-6, and then Wakefield defeating Wigan 30-12. So quite surprising seeing three of the top four losing all in the same week. But round 24, we've got Uddersfield versus Castleford, Hull FC versus Wakefield, Leeds versus Warrington, St. Helens versus Hull KR, Wigan versus Toulouse, and Catalans versus Salford. So yeah, I think Toulouse is done. And Simon has now got his picks through. Bless you. So Simon has picked the Panthers to beat the Rabbitohs. He's picked the Cowboys to beat the Warriors, Storm to beat the Broncos, Eels to beat the Bulldogs, Sharks to win, Roosters, Dragons, and Raiders. Nice. So, Richie, you and I are the same by the Dragons-Titans game, and Simon is different to us on the Panthers game for me and the Dragons Titans game for you. So be interesting. Hopefully I've done enough with my picks. Well, anything else you guys want to add? Cheers for adding that in there, Simon. It helps me out, keep on track of everything. Anything else you want to add, Richie, before we go?
Not a lot, mate. As always, thanks to everybody for chatting some footy with us. It's always fun. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Brad.
Yep, sorry, I just dropped my pen. Thank you, everyone, for joining us again on the Standoff with Brandon Ritchie. For your weekly update on rugby league, tune into the show next week at 8 p.m. here on Facebook or at your convenience on iHeartRadio. Just remember to search for New Zealand Sport Radio. Cheers for joining me again, Ritchie, and for all your help in the background, Paul, and for all the comments, everyone. So good night, and hope you have a good weekend.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
it. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.